Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center, our focus this morning. The Save Jane event is coming up on October 14th. We'll get into that and talk about the good work of Safe Harbor this morning with Elizabeth McNally. Elizabeth, it is good to have you back this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Ted.
We get together. We were just saying we need to do this more than just once a year to talk about what you do. Talk about Safe Harbor, because you do so many things in so much in the community. A lot of it's not out there, and you don't make a big deal about a lot of it. But you certainly are helping law enforcement and families, and especially children.
Yes, that is our mission. Thank you for having me again. It's wonderful to be here and talk about Safe Harbor. For anyone out there, and there may be quite a few people who don't know what a child advocacy center is. I certainly didn't when I started working at Safe Harbor. We are a child advocacy center. We're one of about 20 in Virginia, and we're based in the city of Fredericksburg. And I describe Safe Harbor as both a place and a process. So what that means is, for children who have made an outcry of abuse, or for folks who have made a report about a child that they suspect is being abused, we provide a place and a process for that child to talk about what has happened to them. So we have a physical location in the city of Fredericksburg that is welcoming and friendly to children. I think we're up to about 2,200 square feet now. The whole building itself is designed around children, and to give them the best opportunity to talk about what has happened to them. So that is the place. And then the process is a much longer component.
Yeah.
The process is that we bring together professionals in the community who need to be involved in investigating what may have happened to that child. So the professionals that we work with are law enforcement, Child Protective Services, the Commonwealth's Attorney's Office, medical providers from Mary Washington Healthcare. We have mental health providers. We partner with the Community Services Board to bring in mental health partners. And then we have our own Safe Harbor employees who work with children as well. So that is the team of folks that need to be involved in order to provide what's called a multidisciplinary response to child abuse. So providing a multidisciplinary response means that children and their caregivers don't have to talk to multiple individuals telling their narrative over and over what happened to them, which can be a re-traumatizing experience.
Sure.
So before CACs existed, before places like Safe Harbor existed, a child may need to talk to between 10 and 14 different people, individuals, professionals, before their case was fully, if it was going through the legal system, fully prosecuted. And that's a lot of people to tell your narrative, your experience to when you've been abused. And so people in the community, including our community here, knew that we could do better for kids. And so they came together to form a child advocacy center. And that's how we started. And so in a nutshell, that's kind of a brief overview of what we do. And we formally partner with now 6 jurisdictions. When I was here last year, it was 5.
Oh, now, so who's the addition?
Well, now we're up to 6. Well, much like your top, Orange County. You're wearing orange today.
Yeah.
Orange County. We recently partnered with Orange County, Virginia, to provide multidisciplinary services to that jurisdiction. And so that is a bit of an expansion for us. So the remaining jurisdictions that we serve are the city of Fredericksburg, Stafford and Spotsylvania, and then King George and Caroline County. So those partnerships have gone back many years. Safe Harbor itself is 14 years old. But as I said, Orange County is our newest addition. So we're now providing MDT, services, medical services, the whole gamut of Safe Harbor services to Orange County, children and caregivers as well. So we're excited about that.
It just makes sense. You remember, it's right next to Spotsylvania there, and there's just there's a natural fit there that I would think. I like how you call it a place and a process. That really describes so often any kind of organizations we talk about. It's one or the other, but you really are the two things.
Yeah. Well, it's important to have a place for kids where, you know, it used to be that they needed to go to the hospital to make a disclosure, or they needed to go to a sheriff's office, and those places can be and strive to be very friendly to children, but in reality it's not the most child friendly space, and so it's important that they have a dedicated space, and what that looks like for us is special waiting room for kids and families, with toys and activities for kids to keep them kind of occupied while they're waiting for the team to talk with them, and what we call a forensic interview room, which is a special room where a child just talks with one individual, a trained individual, about what happened to them. And that room itself is child focused. There's things in that room like Play-Doh. Most kids don't have Play-Doh at home, but they have Play-Doh where we are.
Yeah.
So you need something to kind of have in their hands,
right,
and play with while they're talking. Another unique feature of our CAC, and this is not true of every CAC in Virginia, but we're very fortunate, we have a medical exam room on site at our CAC. So that's through a close partnership with Mary Washington Healthcare. And that means that if a child does need some medical attention, or they just need time to talk to a specially trained nurse, medical professional, they can do that right on site with us, so they don't have to leave our physical space and enter kind of the system of the hospital. So we're very proud to be able to bring that to kids.
Elizabeth McNally here. Much more coming up. Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center, our focus, and we're going to talk about the Save Jane event that's coming up on Friday, the 14th of October. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Elizabeth McNally in this morning. Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center is our focus. I didn't write down. Oh, safeharborva.org is the website. Safeharborva.org. If you do want to find out more about Safe Harbor, and there is a Facebook page.
Yes.
As you were talking, the whole, and I've always just been fascinated by this, of how you are able to, you pretty much, you know, get a better story and help kids not be so traumatized, because for adults to go to the to the sheriff's office, to the hospital, it can be intimidating, and that's not what you are at all. To me, that was always just one of the more fascinating things about what you do, is how you're really set up for kids.
Yes. And when people do learn about CACs, they typically connect CACs with what's called a forensic interview. And so a forensic interview is a special kind of interview that is done with children that allows them to talk about what happened to them in a way that, well, we approach them in a way that's neutral and fact-finding. So I have individuals on staff who are trained to do forensic interviews, provide forensic interviews for kids, and that is kind of the gateway service that brings them into Safe Harbor. Is a report has been made about a child, or a child has made an outcry, investigators start to become involved, and the investigator then calls us and asks us to schedule a forensic interview. And so when the child comes in, the whole idea is that they're talking with one individual. They're not talking to a group of people or multiple investigators, and therefore becoming traumatized or overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So they come into us. My staff sit down with them in the room that we just kind of talked about, and they approach them in a way that I said, like, is neutral and fact-finding. And so they're not leading children to answer questions in any particular way. They're being very strategic about how they conduct the interview, and they're meeting the child kind of where they are developmentally. So We do provide interviews for children as young as, we've had some kids come in who are just over 2.5 years old.
Wow.
And they, depending on how verbal they are able to participate in forensic interviews. And then we provide them up to kids who are age 18 years old. So the whole gamut in between, and interviewers need to know a lot about child development to know what kinds of questions children are able to answer in forensic interviews. And really what they're trying to do is invite the child to do a kind of a free narrative or an open narrative. They're really trying to ask as few questions as possible and collect information from the child relevant to what that allegation is. So while that's going on, that child is in a space with one adult. The team that I talked about before, the multidisciplinary team, all the other investigators and partners are watching through a closed circuit TV in another room. Excuse me, in another room. And again, that prevents the child from needing to interface with all those people and become overwhelmed. Those individuals also have an opportunity then to kind of feed in questions to the interviewer. And so that they can, law enforcement and CPS and medical typically have specific questions that they're looking to have answered or get specific information. And they're able to feed that into the interviewer and not need to interact directly with that child. So that is the core, what I would call the core service of, you know, kind of what brings children into safe harbor. And again, that goes back to why it's important to have both a place and a process. So we're providing the child-focused place and bringing the team of people together. I used the term, last week I was talking to an investigator and I used the term hub. Safe harbor is a hub. And he was like, oh, that's a really great term. You really are the hub because you're bringing together all the professionals and you're bringing together the caregiver and child. And I'll talk a little bit more later about what we do after the child is gone. Like, what other services do we do? How do we support those MDTs as well? That keeps us at the center of what's going on with that child's case. So forensic interview is kind of the gateway service that people come to Safe Harbor for. While the child is participating in a forensic interview, and I use the word participate specifically because we invite them to interact in this interview. We don't attempt to make any child or force any child to do this. So if a child doesn't want to participate in an interview, we don't try to force that.
Okay.
So while they're interacting with the interviewer, I have folks on staff who are what we call child advocates. And so their role then is to interact with the caregiver. So another really important aspect of the Child Advocacy Center process is making sure that caregivers have the support that they need in order to support their child through the healing process. So our advocates are sitting down with caregivers. They're supporting them while their child is in that forensic interview. That's most likely a very stressful and can be a chaotic time for the caregiver. So they're physically there with that person, supporting them while their child is in the forensic interview. And then they're gathering information, doing a needs assessment. If the parent, caregiver wants to provide information, they're collecting information for a needs assessment. And then they're ensuring that caregiver has access to the resources that they need, like I said, in order to support that child through the healing process. So we know that when children have a supportive caregiver, their rate of healing or their propensity to heal is much higher when they have somebody who can care for them appropriately.
Wow, it's the kind of thing you hope you never know about, or I mean, that you have to deal with. But if you do, and the service that you're providing, and just the statistics show that this is such a big problem. That you're able to provide all of this.
Yes. I was looking at some statistics before I came in this morning, and in Virginia, I'm just going to pull them up really quickly. So in Virginia, we collect our referrals from Department of Social Services, Child Protective Services, and law enforcement. So that's how kids come to us. So just in state fiscal year 21, and we're just talking about Child Protective Services alone, there were over 30,000 approved reports of child abuse or neglect in Virginia. 30,000. So that's the whole Commonwealth of Virginia. And then there were over 52,000 children involved in those 30,000 reports. So a report, the way they describe it, can involve multiple children. So 52,000 children is an overwhelming number. So obviously it's an issue that we need to bring attention to, and wow. and places like Safe Harbor need to exist in order to provide a child an appropriate multidisciplinary response that is not traumatizing to them.
Again, safeharborva.org is the website where you can find out more information. Before we get out of here this morning, we will talk about supporting, if you can, you support or to donate to the work of Safe Harbor. The Save Jane event is on October 14th. This is one of the most unique events I've ever covered, and this will be the third year.
Yes.
This is year number three.
Yes.
It is really something, because it's a very simple event, mm-hmm. but it gives you know, we talk about these numbers, mm-hmm. and it gives you really a feel for how big it is.
Yes. So yes, and we're super pleased to be able to bring Save Jane to the community again. Like you said, it's our third year. It's hard to believe that it's already the third year doing this.
I can remember the first time you came in and you described it, and I just couldn't imagine.
Yeah,
what it would be like.
Yeah,
and again, it's the simplest of events, but it's I always am surprised. Market Square is always just dead silent through
yes.
the whole thing.
It's a somber event.
Yeah,
but the community comes out and supports it in such a way that it's just fantastic. What you learn, what you experience, what you come to know by coming to a Save yeah. Jane event. So. As you alluded to, we essentially take over Market Square in Fredericksburg. We will do this on October 14th, so the end of next week. The event starts at about noon. And when you think about those, I think I said it was 30,000 reports in all of Virginia, we narrow that number down to the jurisdictions that we serve. And so we read the names of this year it'll be over 10,000 kids who were included in those reports, those same type of reports. Mm. So our number this year, I think, is 10,090. So that represents the fiscal year of 2021, the number of reports that were that came through Child Protective Services for 11 jurisdictions that we provide services to. So we have our six jurisdictions that we have a formal partnership with, but we also provide some what we call courtesy services to other jurisdictions. So those are included in that number. So 10,090 names. And of course, we can't read the actual names of children. We would never do that. And so the name Jane Doe is read in place of female victims, and John Doe in the place of male victims. And so we're reading Jane Doe, John Doe, and their ages for approximately 9.5 to 10 hours straight.
Right.
So it starts at about noon. It typically ends between 9:30 and 10. And what's really fascinating and heartwarming is the response that we get from community members to stand up and read those names. So we have everyone from, in the past, we've had the Commonwealth's attorney from the city of Fredericksburg came out, and I believe we will have her again this year come out and read names. We have folks from law enforcement from all of the jurisdictions that we serve, not just the city of Fredericksburg, come out and they actually read a set of names. And then we have members of the community who sign up to read names mm-hmm. as well, who we've never met before. There are folks who learned about the event who want to participate and support the event. So they sign up to read names. If anyone listening to this is interested in coming out to read names, we still have some slots, I think between 8:00 and 9:30.
Okay.
We still have some open slots. I can get you our Sign Up Genius page. I'll pull it up during one of the breaks.
Okay.
We have a Sign Up Genius page
yeah.
Where folks can go in and just sign up to be a reader. And it's a really, it's an interesting experience to be up behind that podium, kind of looking out on the folks that are there and reading. It takes about 7 or 8 minutes to read one set of names.
Yeah.
And it's just a very moving experience, and really settles into you when you're up there reading those names, the importance and the weight of what these kids have endured.
I mean, and everybody asks, some people it's really tough to get through, and you always, you know, and because there's there's some story there.
Oh, and absolutely.
They're doing it in either, you know, honor or memory of somebody, mm-hmm. you figure.
Or they might be their own experience.
Right.
It might be reflecting their own experience. And we've definitely had folks sign up to come to read for Save Jane who heard about the event through the marketing that we do, came out to support, and then kind of chatted with us afterwards about, you know, what brought them out was their own event or someone that mm-hmm. they were honoring. And so it's amazing that the bravery that people show to support our event.
Even local officials, like you said, I can remember Travis Byrd doing it the 1 year, and he in talking about how he was telling me just how emotional it was for him just because of the cases you hear that, and it's a wide section when you see law enforcement up there and just school social workers. You see a lot of them.
Yes. CPS comes out, Child Protective Services comes out. Our team reads from the CAC. And then we've also had some caregivers who've come out. You know, their kids have maybe come through Safe Harbor and they come out to read names as well. So it really is a fascinating experience to watch this happen.
I remember the first year you did it, and when I think it was Mayor Greenlaw was the first person to start reading. And as she got going, she just teared up. Yes. And afterwards, she just said, it wasn't until she got going that she realized every one of those names is a victim.
Yes. And I think what people, what hits them maybe while they're up there as well is going back to the fact that we provide medical services for kids. Obviously, children who are 1 year old, 2 year old, they can't always participate. Well, 1 year old can't participate in a forensic interview.
Yeah.
But because we have a medical exam room on site, we can provide services for kids who are down to like infants. So we've had 6 month olds who've come through our services because they needed to have medical attention. Hmm. And so they're included on that list of kids because a report had been made about them. So when people are up there and they're reading Jane Doe, 5 months, there's something that even hits you harder about a 5-month-old infant who had who was potentially abused. Yeah.
Save Jane event is on October 14th at Market Square. We'll continue to talk about that and other things with Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center. Elizabeth McNally here this morning. SafeHarborVA.org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Elizabeth McNally in this morning. Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center is our focus. We'll talk about it at the end, but for Save Jane is the event on October 14th. That is the event at Market Square, where ages of victims are read. And again, it is really moving just because it starts at noon, and like you say, it goes till 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and you just see the sheer numbers of it show you that what you're doing is so widespread and so important to do something like that. I know you have to have supporters and volunteers, but you have to have supporters to help make something like this work.
Yes, we do. Like most events, we need to have sponsors, and so we've been fortunate enough to be sponsored this year by the Fredericksburg Emergency Medical Alliance. They're actually the presenting sponsor, which is awesome. Thank you. And Mary Washington Healthcare is also sponsoring. I think their level is called Beacon of Light. They're always a beacon of light for us.
Yeah.
And then we have folks in the community who made sponsorships as well that we're super grateful for. We couldn't do it without without sponsors and without support. And going hand in hand with the financial support, we do also rely on volunteers like the day of the event to help things run smoothly. So as you mentioned, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward event. Folks have signed up to read a list of names. We don't really have a whole lot else going on during the event because we want to, the focus to be on those names. But it still takes people to help set up and break down the event and keep things running smoothly in between. And so if folks are interested in volunteering for, you know, a 1 or 2 hour shift for light duties, I'm getting one of my staff to send me the sign up genius for that so I can share that as well.
Okay.
We do still have some volunteer opportunities open. So, yeah, we rely on the community to help bring this event out.
And a lot of good information always on your Facebook page, or if you go to safeharborva.org, a lot of information on what you do and how to give, how to become a how to donate to this work, because it really is behind the scenes. But boy, for this line of work, and there's just so many things you can't talk about, or you can't, and it's not as though someone can walk in. This is there are so many things, but what you're doing, and as you describe it, It's so needed for the healing of children, but also for the prosecution of those that are responsible.
Right, and like you said, it's a challenge for most CACs to talk about ourselves in the community because, as you said, number one, you know, we're there to protect children, and so we have to keep our physical location really private, because we don't want folks, especially folks who are doing criminal behaviors to kids, to know where we are, or to know where they might be. And secondly, we narrow our scope for referrals is really just coming from law enforcement and DSS. So we don't allow people from the community to self-refer their child for a forensic interview or for a medical evaluation. And I don't want that to sound as though we don't provide information to people. So if someone were to call in and provide a hypothetical or talk about something that has happened to their child or an outcry has been made, my staff listen to that person and make sure that they get directed to the right individual who can take their report. That case may end up making its way back to Safe Harbor once it's gone through law enforcement or CPS. But because that's how our referral system works, it makes it a little bit challenging to talk in the community and market ourselves. So coming on shows like yours really helps with that piece. And so we appreciate the ability to come here and talk about Safe Harbor.
What we need to do, as we said, we're gonna do it more next year.
Yes,
just
we are.
Because there really are so many things to talk about, and we just have to condense it so much in just this once a year kind of thing. So we will do better on that. Next year, so much is made right now, Elizabeth, of just mental health in the community with kids. When you talk about schools, but I would think that there's I'm sure you're dealing with a mental health component with what you're dealing
Absolutely,
with.
Absolutely, yes. So the mental health aspect of what a multidisciplinary team response looks like, it's critical. So you can't really have a healthy multidisciplinary team response or a multidisciplinary response to child abuse if you don't have a mental health aspect available for kids. So we are very fortunate to be partnered with the Rappahannock Area Community Services Board to provide mental health services to kids who've come through Safe Harbor. So the way that might look is a child may come in, be invited to participate in a forensic interview, and then it's determined by our staff and by the multidisciplinary team that child may need mental health services. And that's whether they make a disclosure or not. They may still need mental health services even if there's no disclosure of abuse made. And so we're happy that we can bring that component to kids. We have two positions for mental health support that are built into the CAC team. And so they are employees of the Rappahannock Community Services Board, but they're deployed 100% to RCAC. So they feel like they're on my team. They are on my team.
Yeah.
And so kids, when they come to the CAC, you know, they get to know us first because they're coming for a forensic interview. We build that relationship with them. And then if they're participating in mental health services, they're coming back to our site to have that. So they're already familiar with us. They've already built some trust with us. We've built trust with them. It makes it more comfortable for them to come back to our location for that mental health piece. Our therapists provide something called a modality called trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy. And it is a special modality that is designed for kids who have been the victim of sexual abuse, can also be used with children who've experienced physical abuse as well. And really teaches them, gives them an opportunity to process their narrative and then develop coping skills that reduce the post-traumatic stress that they are experiencing. So they end up on a healing path that helps them just function better in life, function better in school, have more control over the symptoms that they may be experiencing, and or eliminate those symptoms altogether of post-traumatic stress. And the most important thing I think to say about that is those services are provided because of the partnership between Safe Harbor and RACSB. That mental health is provided at no cost to kids. So kind of circling back to the support of the community and the support of folks around us, we and RACSB raise funds to be able to provide that service to kids. It's very important that that it be provided free to children and caregivers, because we want to remove any possible barrier to kids accessing that service.
Yeah.
And so if it was something that a caregiver needed to pay for, that in many cases would be a barrier.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to have people just I can't afford it. We'll just do without.
Right. Absolutely.
And yeah.
So that's not an option for us.
Yeah.
So we're more than happy and willing to write grants, you know, have events like our golf tournament that we have once a year that helps support the therapy program. That's our role, and that's ours to do, and we're happy to do it.
Well, and when you see things like the golf tournament, or if there are fundraisers, or just the opportunity to donate, think about it, because you look. Sometimes we tend to look at these things and not really understand what they do, and what you do is so crucial. And just the fact, just the partnerships. It's always, you know, the partnerships like you have with the Community Services Board, mm-hmm. or a number of different organizations. You're all working together. And again, these aren't the kind of things that you're doing all these happy kind of stories about. But
right.
you're at work every day, and some days just have to be.
Yes. Mm. Some days. We had one of those days on Friday, actually.
Right.
Yeah, they can be very challenging, and you're right. Everybody that we have a partnership with, and each of the six jurisdictions that we serve, we do have a formal partnership. So the sheriff signs off on our partnership.
Yeah.
The Commonwealth's attorney signs off. So it's the heads of all of these public serving organizations that are signed off to work with the CAC to provide a multidisciplinary response to kids. And that's a big thing to have all of those partners. RACSB is another one that, you know, they partner with us around mental health, but they also partner around providing our MDTs with secondary trauma support. So we've had specialists come in from RACSB to give us training on how to do self-care, mm-hmm. for those days, like you said, that are just really hard and we're dealing with difficult subject matter, and some days can be pretty dark. So we rely on our partners to help us bring self-care not only to the CAC staff, but also to all those MDT partners, law enforcement and CPS, who are dealing with this on a daily basis as well. So CAC and the multidisciplinary response wouldn't exist without the partnerships. We simply wouldn't be
right.
there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you all need each other.
Yes. We are interdependent.
Yeah. So when a person, or when the child is finished after that interview, and it's the basis of that goes to whatever, whether mm-hmm. it's law enforcement or the Commonwealth's attorney, wherever it goes, what happens to do you do any follow-up with the children?
Yes. So going back to our advocates, I have two advocates on staff who their responsibility then is to follow up with those kids and those caregivers routinely. And depending on the severity of the case, They may follow up more frequently or less frequently. But the commitment that we make when we first explain our services to a caregiver, the commitment we make is that we're going to follow that child and caregiver all the way through potentially the end of their prosecution process, the end of their case, which can be sometimes multiple years. So we're making that big commitment up front to them to maybe be involved with them for 2 to 3 years, which is huge. And the child may be progressing through mental health services. They may not be. They may not be in mental health at the time. And so that places more emphasis on the advocate to spend that time doing those follow-ups and making sure that the caregiver continues to have everything from basic needs met to transportation to and from court, which our system-based advocates help with as well, to if the child is involved in mental health, to transportation to and from that, if that's a barrier. So the advocates are really there as a safety net. So they're ensuring that the caregiver has what they need, but they're also occasionally and more frequently as of late providing education to caregivers and kids about the dynamics of abuse and healing.
I should talk about the caregiver, or, you know, the people that are handling this with your office. You don't have that many. I mean, you would get the feeling in knowing this area and just the numbers we're dealing with. You're all really stretched thin. Yes. Everybody in this area.
Yeah, we don't have enough CACs, and certainly, I would say in Virginia. And then when you look at each individual's CAC, it's amazing the amount of work that can be done with a small group of people,
right?
Small dedicated group of people.
That's you guys.
Yes. So on my staff, I have two advocates. I have a program service coordinator. I have a forensic interviewer, and myself. And then, as I mentioned, we have funding for two therapists. Right now, we actually only have one therapist on staff. One of our positions is vacant. If anybody out there is listening is interested in providing therapy services within a CAC setting, there is a job announcement on the RACSB's website. Just look for Safe Harbor Therapist and you'll be able to find it. So that puts us in a position, sadly, of having to have a bit of a wait list for kids who need therapy, which we never want to have. Mm-hmm. But we're managing that. But yeah, it's a small group of people. And over the course of a year, we open about 350 new cases a year. And then we also allow children to come back for therapy at any time up until they're age 18. So a child may come to us when they're 7 or 8 years old for a forensic interview. They participate and they don't particularly need therapy at that certain point in time in their life. They may need it when they're 16. So something may be manifesting relating to their trauma when they're 16 years old. So we allow them to come back until age 18. So that makes our numbers a bit bigger. So we open about 350 new cases a year, and then we have roughly 20 to 30 kids who are what we call returning kids just for therapy. Okay. So that's another unique feature of Safe Harbor, that we allow kids to come back until they're 18.
Elizabeth McNally here, Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center. Save Jane is October 14th. We're going to wrap it up in a second and talk about Save Jane and how you can just viewing it is something you will not forget. SafeHarborVA.org is the website, SafeHarborVA.org. We'll take a very, very quick break and wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Good stuff this morning with Elizabeth McNally with the Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center. Save Jane is October the 14th. It's a Friday. This will be the third year at Market Square. And all you do is you read ages and Jane or John Doe names.
Right.
And it's pretty powerful.
It's It is very powerful. As I was saying earlier, we still have some slots to sign up to read late in the evening. So I think between 7:30 and 9:30, we still have openings. If anyone is interested in doing that, you can visit our Facebook page after maybe 10 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
We'll make sure that the link for the Sign Up Genius is on there. It's easy to go on and just sign yourself up to read a list of names.
Yeah. Okay. It's if you're in downtown Fredericksburg or you want to make your way there and just
stop by
for a while.
We will have information available. That's one of the few things that we do kind of make available is information about Safe Harbor. So we have a small information table. And we've also got the City of Fredericksburg Police Department is coming between 3 and 5 p.m. to provide child ID kits for anybody in the community that needs a child ID kit to keep those kids safe. You can certainly visit the event even if you're not comfortable reading names. We'd love to have people come out.
It's always interesting to me knowing the people in law enforcement that I do in this area to see them all there. And I'll see them line up, or even you see some of the school social workers mm-hmm. will come and spend time on a Friday afternoon or a Friday evening to do this, and from all over the area too. I mean, people they drive in from. I remember last year a whole bunch of from the sheriff's office and different offices in King George came
yes.
in,
yeah.
and did it.
King George, a lot of folks from the sheriff's office has signed up this year to come out and read,
yeah.
and they did as well last year, and I think they actually had a block, so they were back to back, so they're coming out again this year, which we're super happy about. And Department of Social Services has folks come from as far as Culpeper. So we've got
I remember that
yeah, yeah. we've got I think 3 CPS family specialists coming from Culpeper, so yeah, they do come from far and wide.
Well, I just find it so interesting in the first 5 minutes of the show when you talked about Safe Harbor being a place and a process.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, wow, that really does describe what you do. And there aren't many organizations around here that do those two things. And as you described all of the things and just the number of people, thank you for what you all do. Boy, it's a tough thing sometimes.
It is. It is. Like we touched upon a little bit earlier, some days are really difficult. But for me, being able to also witness the healing that children
yeah.
go through and are able to achieve, we do typically get to see the whole cycle, which not everybody in the community gets to see. And so watching a child go from, you know, coming in for therapy with their hoodie like over their head, looking down, not making eye contact with anybody, you know, feeling shame and feeling maybe that they've done something wrong, which of course they haven't.
Right.
That child coming in for several months for therapy to going to a child who would walk in, smile at people, talk to people, doing much better in school, making eye contact, holding their head up high. We get to see that whole cycle. And so it's days like those when the kids are, you can see the kids making progress that feeds our ability to deal with those harder days, at least for me. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're fortunate to be able to witness that whole process.
Everybody
gets to.
We just have a couple of seconds left. Literally, you've got a couple of sponsors that help Save Jane, make it possible.
Yes. Fredericksburg Emergency Medical Alliance is our presenting sponsor, and Mary Washington Healthcare, Beacon of Light sponsor of Save Jane. Yeah.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for what you and your staff do, because it really is just so, so important. And a lot of times we never even hear the stories. We don't even know this stuff happens in the court system that we don't have access to. But you're doing great things, especially when you talk about, you just kind of, I can get choked up just about when you talk about kids who are able to, you know, pull the hoodie back and
heal.
Move on and
heal.
Again, Save Jane, October 14th, from beginning at noon at Market Square. Stop by and take part and observe it if you can. Elizabeth McNally, thanks.
Thank you.
SafeHarborVA.org, Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center. Check them out. That's it. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life. travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.